Standing Board Meeting, October 23rd, 2023.
Ready to go? Hear ye, hear ye. The Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. And by the way, welcome everyone. And this evening, we are going to go through our first order of business, which will be the Sunshine Act. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. James down the several servers. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will our board administrator please call the roll?
Commissioner Crevel?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
Jessica Stilley?
Here.
Absent are Mayor Landgraf, Tom Halpin, Roman Zavi Hutch, Mike Wiesen, Peter Taco, Tim Coop, and Wendy Bartlett.
At this time, we have the minutes from the October 11th meeting to adopt. Are there any changes or amendments to said minutes? Hearing no requests of the same, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
Make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Minutes are hereby adopted. We have two resolutions this evening for adoption, and a P42-23 and P43-23. Are there any changes or amendments to those resolutions? Hearing none, again, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The resolutions are hereby adopted. This evening, we have a busy schedule. We'll go through it with everyone getting a very fair hearing as well. At this time, I have the first application this evening. Are there any agendas up front?
Yes.
Okay. If you have a question on the order of events, I'll read them off to you. But there also is a agenda up front as well. The first application is that of 106 Troy Avenue. The second one is 204 North Melbourne. The next one is 14 North Washington. And then 417 North Somerset. And then 318 North Cambridge. That'll be the order of events this evening.
And I would just ask, just for everyone here and for the board members, six people are here now. Roman Zavi Hutch is apparently going to be coming maybe by the second application, but doesn't look like he's going to be here by the first. I know on the first application, Dan Smith has to recuse himself, so that'll give us five. Five is still enough, but to the board members, and looking at the agenda, is anyone, and it's possible that Lorraine has to leave early, any applications that anyone has to recuse themselves from? Just want to make sure. I don't want someone to sit here for 2 hours.
Dan Smith.
On the first one, I know that.
Yes.
I think we'll be okay, especially when Roman gets here. Okay.
All right.
That said, we adopted the minutes, correct?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We went through everything. We're ready for our first application, Council.
I'm ready.
At this time, we're proceeding with the first applicant this evening. That is Elliot and Sharon Atkins at 106 South Troy Avenue. Mr. Balance, are you representing?
I am, Mr. Cook. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. McLaren, you're going to take over and read his report?
Pardon me?
Mr. McLaren is going to read his report. Is that how we're...
Well, let's go through a few things first.
Sure.
And then, do you have any people you need sworn?
Sure.
Would you have them sworn in now, please?
John?
Uh,
Elliot Atkins, the applicant, and John Barnhart, our licensed professional engineer and planner.
Okay.
Good evening. Thank you for hearing this.
Sure. Okay, sir.
We're just going to get you sworn in now.
Okay. First, here.
Mr. Atkins and Mr. Barnhart, if you each just state your name and address for the record, and I'll swear you in together.
I'm Elliot Atkins, and it's 106 South Troy Avenue.
Okay. And if you can each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth.
I do.
All right. Great. Thank you.
For the record, Mr. Days, are you a planner and engineer? And let the record reflect that your credentials are accepted. Okay. Let's proceed with your application.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You want to do it? Mr. Balanson?
Yes, sir.
We're going to swear in Mr. McLaren now also.
I can wait for that. I'm all right.
Mr. McLaren, please get sworn in.
Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you give throughout this evening will be the truth.
I do.
Thanks.
You're going to go through the whole thing first, and Mr. McLaren will go in. It's your ball.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ford. My name is Chris Balanson. I represent the applicant with respect to their house property, 106 South Troy. The application before you tonight, that the work has been done, almost completed, but was stopped probably 3/4 of the way in because there were no permits issued. Not the first time this has happened, not the first time with this contractor that this has happened, but the actors were recipients of that escapade, so to speak. What happened was the actors wanted to move down here year round. They had the summer house on Troy, and that's what they did. Mr. Atkins works nationwide as a forensic psychologist, and has Zoom meetings on a regular basis where he's giving testimonies throughout the country on different types of forensic psychology matters. And the idea of moving down here was to also build an office above the garage. To do it properly and to get the required approvals, they hire a contractor, who we all know. And he proceeded to work as if everything was okay, assuring that everything was okay. Turns out, as they get 3/4 of the way into the work, because everybody probably saw in the pictures I provided, everything wasn't okay. There were no permits, there was no zoning approval, there was nothing. They were told to stop, they stopped. They called me, asked me what to do. I said to stop. They said, we stop. I said, we've got to submit an application. And Mr. Agnesino was very nice about it. We have to submit an application, which we did. We had to have plans prepared because none had been prepared, believe that or not, that actually addressed what was done. A second floor office over the garage and a access from downstairs. So the expenditure of the project, soft cost standpoint, started over again after Jimmy told us to stop. New plans were prepared. We submitted for last month. We were going to appear. I made the decision to withdraw that application until this month, because I didn't think the plans that were submitted clear enough for everybody to understand what was going on. You saw the plans that we submitted for this time. And for the most part, what John's office did was take photographs and what's been done. It's easier doing that than recreating the wheel, so to speak. I hope those plans can show you. We've kind of explained close to Halloween.
Okay.
So we resubmitted plans, revised the zoning plans that you guys have now seen, which included a lot of pictures. Randy's the new contractor that's been hired. John and I have been hired, and we are here hopefully to receive the variances request and have approved the variances necessary for Mr. Atkins to have the second floor office. Right now he is working out of his living room or sunroom, and I was in there. It's, you know, if you got family around, it's not, if that's your primary office, it's not the way you want to have to work at his level, so to speak. And we think we can justify the variance. What we have is there was an existing detached garage. That was on the side property line, the beach side, and on the rear property line. There were zero setbacks. Those continued. But now that the now the garage has been attached to the house, it's one big structure, so those variances must be requested. The area that connects the old garage to the house is new construction. That area creates additional building coverage, 5 or 6%. That variance must be requested. Lot coverage, on the other hand, goes down. Lot coverage is high. Lot coverage goes down 5 or 6%, because you'll find out that one of the treats that the initial contractor had for the Atkins was to extend the existing garage 5 feet toward the street on the side lot line, on the property line, to make it 5 feet forward. Stay back. What the heck? That creates a problem with Mr. Goldstein next door, who needs to use his driveway to get up and down the driveway and open his car doors. That created a problem. In turn, what we agreed to do was not only take that 5 feet off, but take 7 more feet off of the side of the garage. Going down the side of the garage, we're taking off 5 feet in, 12 feet back. But Mr. Goldstein next door actually had better use of his driveway for opening car doors and things of that nature. It's his driveway just got effectively wider because the Atkins agreement, and rightfully so, the Atkins agreement to remove 12 feet of the garage off the property line. It also creates light air, light air and open space because we don't have the structure on the line anymore. So it's fortunately, it's only that side yard setback for an existing condition coverage of several percent, one going higher, one going lower, that is required to approve this work. And I'll tell you this, it's impossible to do it. I know that. The law says, and Mr. Cook, we've been through this before, Jay. The law tells you guys to look at this as if we're coming in fresh. As if the work hadn't been done.
Mr. Bailenson, that is why we asked you to conform to the new home, to the an application like this, so it will be a fresh application for the board.
Did I do okay?
That's everything. It's just fine. So we're in agreement that this is how it will be heard. It's the new application.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's difficult to do to kind of take that punitive measure out of your head, but I would ask that you try to do that for the Atkins. They were the, as I said, the unsuspecting recipients of a kind of a raw deal, so to speak, and hopefully we can rectify that tonight. Mr. Atkins, I'd like you to speak from a personal standpoint, how we got here and what unfortunately happened.
Mr. Atkins, could you go to the microphone, please?
We bought our house on Troy Avenue in 1980. We had a house until last week in Cherry Hill. When COVID came, and I have an office in Marlton, it's still there. When COVID came, instead of going back and forth, we stayed down here at 106 South Troy, and we never went back to Cherry Hill. We eventually sold the house. Because I was no longer going to my office, I set up my computer for my Zoom meetings in my sunroom, and it takes up almost the entire room. My wife is ready, or was ready, to get rid of me. But when we came up with the idea of building an office over the top of the garage, that would be the solution. We never needed it before because we live right next to my office up in Cherry Hill. We had a person who had done work for us, Don Kelly. He had built a little porch for us, a little deck. He had done pavers for us. He had done landscaping for us. We asked him for the name of somebody who could build this little office for me. He says, I'll do it. One of the biggest mistakes we ever made. For the longest time, he assured us that he had a permit. It's our fault. We never saw it. It wasn't hanging up in our window. We never insisted, although eventually we start insisting. And when we started to insist, we started to get lies. He told me that Jimmy from the office had agreed that he should continue going ahead until he gets that permit in his hand. And it's just a matter of hours or days or weeks. This went on for a long time until we were told to stop working. And I brought Chris in and the new builder, Randy. And that's why we're here today. I'm hoping that we can get the permission to complete my office.
Yeah. And the contractor, Elliot, the contractor who was on the job is now off the job altogether. John, you've been sworn, John. Give the board the benefit of the the area, the zoning, surrounding neighborhood as a start?
Pardon me one second. Can all the board members see the map that, or would you like it moved closer so that you can see it better? Move it closer?
That plan is also in everybody's pack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Without cluster.
Why don't you proceed ahead?
The proposal was personally described as to develop a second floor for purposes of losses discussed.
John, as we get into this, and so we're clear, the office doesn't even close to take up the whole top of the garage. It's just a very small portion of the top of the top of the garage. Am I right? Portion of the garage. There.
So what that building is just now, so everything on the property is running from principal building, accessory structure. Now, all of the stuff are part of the building, so it creates a lot of different methods. I've got to be one of the projects in the past. So, what I'm trying to propose to do is we've heard the discussion about how it's going to be hard to understand, because without this, though, is unfortunately, we can't use that application when we're trying to get cleaned up. Many times when we do that application, I guess, first we stop and limit your shopping and when you're coming to spend that money to try to get legalized exactly for a problem. But this is where we're applying, it's not doing that at all. We're going to demolish the good amount of money that are constructed. And to worry about that, there's a worry about that some existing garage structure, then we
John, initially, where you have the yellow second floor addition, would you just point out where the garage is now, please?
Yeah.
And right now, I'm sorry.
The proposal is to get off the hill on the portion of the building, but the proposal will also compare with the additional of the existing portion of the garage structure. We will find the ground floor of the existing garage. We will need a shed to create open space on the side.
So that's it. Yeah, I'm sorry. The structure
is this is how the color is actually becoming a little simple. So that in the ground is being tested. What we're going to do is cut down that wall in that right setup beyond what it has existed.
So for many, many years, the garage obviously sat on the line, but much further up toward the street. And we're cutting back 5 feet deep into the garage and 12 feet back toward the backyard. 60 square feet coming off. So a fair portion of the garage, 12 feet of it anyway, will meet the side yard setback on that side at 5 feet. The forward in there. We'll meet the five. And the other portion that's on the line, that's always been there like that. So although we're working with obviously built things that have been built and all bad things, that's a high point of the application. The fact that we're giving some relief on that side property line of 5 feet to make it conform with the setback. The The white area of the top of the garage also was previously shown as all deck. Second floor deck, top of the garage. With a sliding door out the side of the office. That also was removed. Now there's going to be a, there's going to be a pitched roof there that runs right up to the addition with no flat part, no deck. Sliding door is converting to a window. So the only thing above that garage will be just that office. No other habitable space, whether interior or exterior. And I'll, and I'm going to talk about I never knew it was there. I don't want a deck to overlook my backyard. Where are the deck overlook my neighbor? Take it off. And change the slider to a window, and that's what's been done. John, the addition then attaches and allows access to the second floor from interior, the interior area of the principal structure to get up to the second floor office from the inside of the house. That's why it is now attached. It was part of the house, obviously. The variances that are being requested. So is the continuing side yard setback for the garage now that it's part of the principal structure? It's zero. And it is becoming somewhat better because we're giving some relief on the side yard by removing the building for a certain portion. And obviously that was a result of discussions with Mr. Gold with the gentleman next door. Mr. Swift is here. He represents that neighbor, and they are supporting the project and now happy to have their driveway now more usable up at the top portion where the shed is. Probably pull another car up there and be able to open the doors. Rear yard setback is also zero. That's a continuing non-conforming condition of the garage. Ten foot setback where zero is existing and has always been there. And the coverage numbers, John, when I came up and looked at Roger's report, the coverage numbers are building coverage is required not to exceed 50. Currently, it's 44 and it's going to 56%. Is that what you saw? So it's an increase of about 12%. And that's as a result of the connection of the garage to the house. Once it's attached, you're required to count for coverage. The same with lot coverage, although lot coverage decreases, permitted at 75%, right now it's 93.5%. It's decreasing 5% down to 89.5%, and that's a result of cutting away that portion of the garage. And in fact, I don't know how wide the garage is, but we're cutting away 60 square feet. Any extra space the extras may have picked up by Mr. Kelly adding that 5 foot to the front has probably now been lost as a result of cutting the side off by wash. John, do you think then, in light of the circumstances, the variances can be granted by the board? And if so, under the municipal land use law, what positive criteria do you think is addressed by the project? Make his garage small.
I think it's important to understand that I've never been to it. But I think we have to be that's what we saw over here. and buildings there. This proposed expansion area has required setbacks, and you're not increasing your access to the fees.
It's when you do things after something's been built to try and make it at least palatable for you guys to show some improvement along the way is what the Atkins agreed to and have done. The addition has been designed to be compatible in terms of the exterior treatments with the house, siding, roofing materials, etc.
As far as any other it is falling in back.
Fortunately for the Atkins, fortunately for us, the relief that we're asking for are conditions of the property that have always existed.
Any planner, would you like to introduce your report?
That wasn't my question. Thank you for clarifying.
All right. We're going to have Mr. McLennan introduce his report now.
Yeah, and I would just note, Roman's here. You sit out for the next one, okay? Just because he came late, that's... You're fine there, but I just want to make sure.
Let the record... let the record reflect that Mr. Zavi Hutch is now present at the board this time. He is attended and should mark him present. Okay, Mr. McLennan.
Thank you, Board Chairman. Just a couple of questions. I'm not going to regurgitate my report. I think I've covered everything. I just do want to cover the variances for the record. So page one is the introduction, some of the facts, data about the site. Page two are the items reviewed, including the plans, which provided two new plans, which are very helpful. And I do believe that the applicant has provided some concessions to make this more palatable. I just want to clarify that the flat roof, in order to reduce the temptation to make it a deck at some point, you're putting a...
There will be no more flat roof. There'll be a pitch on both the rear and the side.
As shown on that plan from...
Yes.
Okay, great. So the zoning chart is on bottom of page two, continue to page three, and the variances are as followed. And again, some of these go away. Side yard setback, principal structure, as John indicated, because you're attaching it to the principal structure, it now becomes a variance for the side yard where 5 feet is required, 17.16 feet to the main building exist, and 0 feet is proposed. Side yard setback to the second floor deck, that variance goes away by the removal of the deck. Rear yard setback to the principal structure, again, similar to the side yard setback, because you're attaching the accessory structure to the principal structure, you go 10 feet is required, 7.33 feet exist, and 0 feet is proposed. Expansion of a non-conforming setback. Rear yard deck, that variance goes away. I remove all the deck. Building coverage, whereas the permitted building coverage maximum is 50%, 44% exists, and 56.3% is proposed. Again, that becomes a variance because the garage, which was an accessory unit, is reclassified as building coverage because it's part of the principal structure. Similarly, lot coverage, whereas the permitted lot coverage maximum is 75%, 93% exists, and 89.5% is proposed. It's still well over what's permitted, but again, the removal of the portion of the structure, the existing garage, was that garage, is that the original garage? It yeah. wasn't rebuilt? It wasn't reconstructed? Okay. I really don't need to go through all my comments. The applicant has done a good job revising the plans. I think there would have been probably some a little bit steeper of a slope to climb if the original plans were presented, but I think the concessions are very good. The second floor addition meets all the side yard and rear yard setback. And again, because you're attaching the principal structure, if you really run the numbers, your net increase in coverage that is associated with the building is very minimal. And that concludes my report at this time.
Okay. I have a couple questions. On the garage itself, we've inspected the garage, and that garage was rebuilt.
I don't know, Mr. Cook, how far into the garage? 5 feet.
The back of it, there's newer block in there that was reframed. In fact, it's in the prints in there with power lamps and so on, all the way through.
That's new framing.
Honey?
New framing inside the garage?
Well, also, it appears that the foundation was also built new, too.
I'm not suggesting that they did. I'm just saying it's not the
garage. The foundation does not match the house. The house itself. I looked at the property side. All the way back to the rear line. I got in back to the rear line, behind the rear line, where it tied into the area there. I have photographs of the whole thing. In there.
I just know you know that also, the whole side was dug out and looked like that. The side had been done all the way to the shed. So I don't know beyond that. I didn't look beyond
I went all beyond it, and it appears that the garage was actually rebuilt totally. The question becomes is, it's not an existing garage anymore. It was demoed.
It was demoed and repaired?
Well, we don't know where it is at this point in time. So that needs to be discussed as well. Because, everything goes to the zero lot line in here.
Well,
I understand.
If that has played no role in having that garage rebuilt, you can't provide information in that regard. They can tell you that it's their understanding there's always a garage there in that corner, whether it's been the house built in the 1950s or rebuilt, whatever. I don't know any idea when it was rebuilt.
I'm not disputing that at all. I mean, as far as it goes, but yes.
The applicant mentioned that he's had the house since the 80s, 1980. So you've had it quite a long time. You would know if that was rebuilt or not.
Look at that and see how new. Yeah. If you and your wife had this garage rebuilt at any time.
We did not ask him to rebuild it. All we asked him to do was build the addition on top. No, never. No. We moved in, I think, in 81. We bought it in 1980. We've never touched that garage.
Okay.
Are there more details, of the outward appearance of the second floor addition? I heard that there's a peaked roof now, not a flat roof. I don't see any of that document. Right.
Pitch roof coming from what direction? All right. Okay. But there's no elevations of that area.
But John, correct me if I'm wrong. He says it's pitched in two directions. I thought that's.
He's not sworn, so if he wants to speak.
Let me ask a question.
Okay. No.
So the roof will be similar to that projection on the side?
John, I think that was.
Yeah.
Simple?
Uh-huh. Simple. Still.
Okay.
Don't need a gable in the back.
No. I see.
If we can discuss yet what I see is a major problem is your lot and your building coverage. Even though you said you reduced what is it, the building or lot of lot, I'm sorry. You're still way over and you actually have it's a lot in bigger than the ordinance even requires. You only gotta get some of that concrete.
My only response to that is that it's always since the '80s since they've had the house, there's been no change. They've had like that whole time.
There. Every other house on that street has a governor strip. This house doesn't.
Sure, and I guess what I'm saying is if you said no, you can't do this, take it down. Coverage, building coverage, lot coverage is going to change. So the structures that are there are still going to be there. And the governor strip is something that is.
You need to get rid of some concrete. And that's for you to think.
Governor strip is something absolutely can discuss without a problem. That's a city problem.
What?
Governor strip.
Yeah, but there is.
But it's there to do, for sure. Did a paper strip seal in the driveway?
All right.
Paper strips in the driveway?
Grass strip down the center.
What do you want?
I want.
that's what, from an affirmative standpoint, Mr. Chairman, that's all we have.
Okay. At this time, I wish to open up to the public, or first of all, do board members have any questions? The applicant himself.
So can we just circle back to the building coverage again? What is the variance asking
the
for?
Building coverage was 44%. As a result of attaching the garage, it goes to 56%. Because you now count the garage to coverage where you don't with the speed back.
Right. So you're 6.3% over, and the lot coverage was originally over.
It was over at 93.5. It goes down to 89.5.
Right. Which is still 10% over.
I will say there.
Because of the pay.
And Mr. at the lot coverage I guess if we say we came in with this application and none of the state, we're stuck with those conditions. Those are existing conditions we can't do anything about. And the second floor office doesn't contribute to any of that. That's conforming in what we said.
You're balancing.
So I think that this is an application that the board is labeled favorably upon under those circumstances. Circumstances that we are presenting are different because it's there and it was done illegally. We know that's hard to detach yourself from.
Yeah. Balancing, can I show you something, please? Could you come forward?
It's exposed. This hasn't been exposed for 50 years. Foundation.
Same issue.
Black gate documents. But you put the walls down. Yeah. Again.
Mr. Smith, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Randy, take over the job.
Yeah, I would like to take over this job from Mr. Kelly because
the job agreed that to take it over, you have obviously the existing room.
Correct.
Has that garage, have those garage walls been replaced from your examination?
There is some new lumber in there. So
some new framing interior.
Yeah.
Talk about the blocks. All the block and the walls been replaced.
I didn't look at the block walls. I didn't. All I saw was some of the framing. And the floor drugs checked.
Did it appear to you from your observation as a contractor when you walked in there that this was a brand new garage?
Maybe two-thirds. That's it. It's the same shape as it was before, but you know, if there's a little bit of block that was damaged or collapsing, it was just probably replaced. But same outline of the garage was there.
Yeah. Because we took a photograph this afternoon and you can see where the new block in the back corner is. It's all brand new block. The mortar is still laying there. Actually, I looked down the wall a little bit more and it goes down there further. Well,
replace in 6 months. That doesn't mean the whole wall gate, huh?
Well, if you look at the framing, most of the frame was replaced as well. So my just question is, okay. I understand all that, what he said, but I don't know what the contract is. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying is that I found new block on the section of the wall, looking down the wall as well, and in there and going through and other, right. And that, led us to look at other areas and so on in there. And then the masonry challenge was still there. It just wasn't one piece of block that got replaced. No, I'm not going to request that you come back with a report on that. So I want to clear this issue up is why I brought it up. So
place funds.
The whole roof was reframed, of course, in the back as well. It's all new. Okay. Fine. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
You're welcome.
You can proceed with it. But we're going to open up to the public at this point in time. Anyone in the public wishes to make comment on this application?
Jules Freeman, 105 South Buffalo Avenue.
Mr. Freeman, do you swear affirm the testimony or give be the truth?
Sure will.
Thanks.
Let me say this. I'm in the real estate business. I'm an FHA inspector. I've inspected a lot of houses. My first concern is that I think there's more going on with this issue than what's being told. My concern is this office. If it is an office, he's going to have clients. If he has clients, I don't believe the doctor or the wife will allow a client to go into their personal residence to use the facilities. Therefore, there's got to be a facility in the quote-unquote office area, which means plumbing. If there's plumbing there, then he may have a secretary. He may not have a secretary. He may want to make a cup of coffee. He's not going to go down to the kitchen. He's going to go into the side room. Next problem. Well, he looks younger than me, and I'm only 75, and I've lived in this town for 75 years. What's going to happen when he decides to retire? Fine, he's out of business, but we have an office, quote unquote, which we now can rent out as an apartment because we have bathroom facilities, we have kitchen facilities. We now have an opportunity to have a unit in addition to a primary residence on the beach block. I think because I walked down that street, there are 16 houses. There are 16 parking spaces. His clients are going to walk? No. They're going to drive. We don't have that much parking around anyway. Where are they going to park? These are other issues that I think you should take into account, besides the square footage of the lot. Those are my concerns. I wish the man well. I hope he builds his property for himself. But if he's going to have an office, he's going to have clients. He's going to have clients, they're going to have cars. And the whole thing goes over again. This is an onion that you have to peel away each layer to get down to the nitty-gritty. And it's amazing that when anybody does anything on the beach block, they do it after Labor Day and before May, so their neighbors are not around. Everybody that lives on Troy Avenue are gone. They live in Bryn Mawr. They live up in North Jersey. They live every place else except little old Ventnor. I have lived on my street for over 40 years. I was the only person there. Now I have neighbors. Okay? And I still don't have enough places to park in the winter because of a condominium that's on the corner of my block. So I think you should take into account other things besides quote unquote office that's going to be attached to the primary residence. Thank you.
Jules, pardon.
The board has not finished its deliberations yet.
Sorry?
The board has not finished its deliberations yet, and also questioning and so on. We do take account of these things and do take very serious control over these things as well. And so I want you to know that the board is well-versed in these issues with home offices and things like that. And we'll be getting into that as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming before us. You can ask away.
Mr. Freeman. That I am. No, I am required to do a work write-up for the house to get money for a mortgage that is insured by the FHA.
Make sure the house works with what they applied for so they get the money.
That's correct.
When you do that, where's your office that you work at?
My office is in my car.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I do. I got three.
Yeah. Atkins plan.
We're not questioning that.
Sure.
Okay. No, I didn't because, no,
gentlemen,
to answer that, yeah. No, I did not because your drawing is facing the panel, not the audience. No, sir. I didn't see it. Okay. I didn't see the. I didn't look at it.
Wait.
It wasn't shown to me.
We're done here in this regard. Let's just end this right now. We're not going face to face.
Is the learned counsel is going a tit for tat?
No, we're done, Jules. We're done.
Okay. So I appreciate
but
being heard.
Thank you very much for speaking up. Yeah. We'll take another witness first, and then we'll talk. We'll do a rebuttal.
Mr. Chairman, good evening. My name is James Swift. My office is 1335 Tilton Road, Northfield, New Jersey. Appearing this afternoon or this evening on behalf of David Fine. David Fine is the neighbor. He owns a property at 108 South Troy Avenue, which is just on the beach side of 106. Mr. Bailenson is accurate. We've had a number of conversations between Mr. Bailenson and myself. As a matter of fact, we met at the property, and Mr. Fine is here to, in essence, support the application of the applicant with the condition that the, if I may go to the plan.
You're the yellow.
The method, and this would be a condition of this portion of the structure is cut back, so it's not related to the building, but officer five you can go down to the car, and then it's a failed in line, made an agreement, requesting that a condition of any approval, and in the decision for resolution, for a bond, that we want this car basically cut off.
That is completely accurate, correct.
Okay. To find, do you have any comments you wish to make to the board?
No, I as
Mr.
long
Fine,
as
you swear to tell the truth.
I do. Thank you. As long as what the plans show and what the written material shows is done, and it's cut back 12 feet away from Troy Avenue and 5 feet away from my property, I am completely okay with that.
If approved, yeah. And that's what's shown on your plan too, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, I'll make sure, and if it's approved, I'll share it with you. Make sure you like the wording.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, is there anyone else in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing none or seeing no request, you can now give a comment.
To address the neighbor's comment about his type of practice you have, and does it involve bringing people to the house?
I don't treat people. I'm a psychologist that consults. I'm an expert witness. I do not have people coming to my office or my house. Since COVID, I've been here almost 3 years down the shore. I have not had one person come to my house as a patient.
Come on.
The office is not going to need a bathroom or plumbing because I don't have anybody coming in there. It's access to my house because I'm the only one that's going to use it, or my family, if they want to come in and say hello to me.
Okay. So real quick, so you will abide by the city's ordinance for home occupation rules and regulations?
Absolutely.
Okay. So Jules, just so you're aware, this is considered not an office, but a home occupation. And it is not plumbing. So basically, yes, you're right. Because they're choosing to call it a home occupation thing, which is their right to do so. No, we are. But I'm just going back, and it's a courtesy to him. That was it. We're done. At this point.
The representations that are being made from the gallery are that my clients are lying. And I don't think that's fair.
So noted. That's it. So that is the case. Testimony on the records of the board members is correct. And Mr. Atkins, bear me out, is that you do not meet clients. This is a home occupation. And that is the case. And this is not an office. It's part of your home office. And you have no visitors that come there other than yourself and your family. That's it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ms. Lott, concerns and comments about green space.
Why not?
I will. Governor's Strip along the curb line, the entire curb line is no problem. A 3 foot wide center driveway strip is doable as well. And then when we pick up about 4% decrease in lot coverage, again, bringing it down about 10% from what it is now. And there's an area shown in stone. That will also be landscaped. No stone, landscape.
In the back here?
In the back here.
And there's concrete back there now.
There, yeah, right. And some of that's shown is some of that's shown as stone on one of the plants.
That, have a number. John?
So it wasn't covered 75.
I have a question about the 89.5. I don't understand how we're actually reducing if we're filling in this whole area to the left of the garage.
Jessica, they're removing that 5x12 square foot portion
over here.
Yes. But that was pavers before.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, that's all. Okay.
Gotcha.
So,
but now you're looking at 85.5 with the, mm-hmm. Is that the, you just got to add to that.
About what we can do with the availability on the front.
So that's a.
And the side, 60 square feet on the side. The PVC hard surface, that would be landscaped. You'll see that from the front as well.
Did you also add in the backyard?
Yeah, backyard right now, what is stone does not count in that. So that stone's not counted, so you put grass there.
It wasn't. I saw concrete back there.
I think it's helped feel over the property line.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, I was, it concerned me because the numbers are high. I looked around, there's curbs at various places, like through the little walkway, there's a curb, there's a lip, and it's like all concrete. It's like, where does the water go? It's kind of held almost in a container because you have those curbs, and there's one in the backyard. There's one in the little walkway there. To me, that really is not an advantage to anything.
Well, I think if you do the driveway strip 3 feet wide, will be significant.
Well, that doesn't address what I just said, though.
But we have an obligation not to have water run onto neighbors' properties. It has to go forward.
Right. And
that's an obligation, whether we're building a new house or renovating this house. That's what we have to do.
Following.
I am following it, but if we don't have,
you're changing it. You're changing some of the dimensions and the dynamics of the house. And so we're looking at it and we're trying to make it better.
And I think what we said, the reduced coverage by 10%, not coming from 10% by this application. 10% of grass that we never had before.
That includes the three foot driveway. And with respect, it wasn't always there. It probably was a 75% before the non pervious pavers went in at some point between when the house was built and now. Right.
Well, it was interesting because that's the only house in the street.
I think, Chris, may I interject here for a second, right? Is that the board is always trying to claw back as much greenery as we can throughout the entire city. At the same time, improve the drainage situation in lots, particularly when the buildings go back to back and zero lot line. So what I would ask if you could do is perhaps if your builder can look at it, you can look at it and come back to Roger with a suggestion or so on how the situation can be improved, because the dampness in the back affects their quality of the owner's quality of life as well as the neighbors. And that's what I think Lorraine is talking about. But just showing you a vehicle that perhaps we can get something done this way. And I want people that work at it and know how to do it. So that's all I'm suggesting. The result is that the Atkins property. Yes. But, and I'd like you to work with Mr. McLaren on that. Right. Lorraine.
So I guess to address that concern, John, while you're here, is the roof, the new roof on the garage and a new roof on the second story addition, both drain on their neighbor's property. So if we can capture that and redirect it towards the front of the property, and even the rear roof that's sloping from the main house, you know, collect that, run it to the front, I think you reduce 90% of the runoff in the back. Right, but it's going to be tricky because you have a 0 foot lot line, so you got to have a recessed gutter in that roof, on a lower roof. I think that'll cure a lot of the concerns.
Right. Yeah, we just don't want ponding back there and everything else going on, because that makes everything just gets mushy. No fun.
That can drill.
So that's what we're talking about in this regard. You know, are there any other questions we have, board members? I'd like to get this to fruition, please. Members, any questions? Do you have any last minute things, Roger?
I do not.
For the board? If that's the case, we're ready for a motion.
All right. The C variance application. The following C variances. We have a side yard setback on the left side, 0 feet where 5 feet required. Same with the rear yard setback. It's at 0 feet where 10 feet required. Building coverage, 50% is permitted. There are 56.3%. Lot coverage, 75% is permitted. And with the grass in the driveway, which is going to be a condition, they're going to get to about 85.5%. The conditions I noted, as Mr. Swift indicated and as shown on the plans, they're going to cut off that 12 feet from the front and 5 feet on the side as shown on the plans, so that Mr. Fine can open it, can access his driveway properly. And I'll articulate that a little better and make sure Mr. Swift reviews it.
Can include that condition that the Atkins will work with Mr. McLaren to address any drainage issues and additional landscaping that may be available on site to include that.
Okay. And you got me with that. I was going to say that, but I don't need to restate that. You know, you're subject to the home occupation rules and regulations of the city of Ventnor. You'll provide the governor strip along the entire curb line and then a 3 foot wide center landscaping strip in the driveway, or at least a 3 foot wide, I'll say. And then the stone shown in the backyard will be, that'll be landscaping. And then the other conditions will say anything else about Mr. McLaren's report. Subject to any outside approvals and subject to any representations made by the applicant during the course of the hearings. So if there's nothing else, we'll need a motion and a second.
Yeah, beforehand, there's one question I had is on the governor's strip. There was no waiver asked for trees. And at the same time, sometimes we're putting like grasses in the governor's strip itself on these beach blocks. No trees in there at all, but sometimes they do use grasses in those that actually are ornamentals. So I would like you to work out that landscaping with that, with Mr. McLaren as well. And we grant him a waiver on street trees, and instead we'll do some plantings in there, grasses and so on, which we'll be used successfully. If that's all right with the Atkins, unless you have a better suggestion. No, these are grasses, like where they grow up off the ground, like instead of trees. Yeah, no shade trees, but sometimes they do use grasses in those to give a better streetscape of an appearance. And because trees on the beach block just don't get it.
There's a number of properties here that already have plantings in the government.
So, you know, that's what we would look at, is something of that nature. And that'll enhance your property as well.
All right. Okay. That being said, we'll need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote.
Have a motion, please. Second. Have a motion? Any further board member?
Motion.
And a second? Anyone?
I'll second.
Second. Okay. Have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Kriebel?
This is really a difficult decision. I have to say it feels as though that the unfortunate victim here is the homeowner. I think we talked a lot about lot coverage. I don't feel as though that it's really clear why we talk about that. And that's because living on a barrier island, the ordinance says 75% for a reason. There's water that has to be wicked into the groundwater so that the tidal water can flow away from buildings and property more quickly. 75% is what we ask. And then as the concrete creep happens, and in your case, pavers happen, you know, these are things that I kind of feel strongly about in our town. There's just not enough to feel comfortable with. If I were looking at this, because I think that a creative architect that would have sat with you and asked, and you would have asked what your requirements were for your home and the lifestyle that you're trying to create here, I think it could have been done.